God, we're grateful to you for your goodness to us. Thank you so much for your word. Your word to us that is powerful. That by your Spirit's use, you can penetrate our hearts and our deepest desires. With your word, you can encourage us and convict us. You can admonish us and instruct us. And I pray, God, that that this would be a tool that we might use this year at Hope of Christ to draw us deeper into your word and be a community of believers who are encouraged by and encouraging each other with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you look, you can actually, let's look at the book here. And you'll notice several things. So in the front of it, it's actually got kind of instructions on how you might use this. And So just you can read through that. I would encourage you to read through that on your own, at your own pace, just to kind of get a feel for what this is. And remember, this is intended to be a tool to help get you deeper into the Word and help you not just it's not a goal of this to get you to read through the Bible in a year. Again, that's more of a consequence. If you end up using this on a daily basis, you will end up reading through the New Testament in a year and the Old Testament in about 3 years. And part of the reason for that pacing is the goal is not just to get you through the Bible. The goal is that you would actually get into Scripture at a deeper level, using passages in smaller chunks to increase your own adoration and thanksgiving of Christ, to help you, kind of guide you in your conviction and what we are seeking from Christ through His Word. And we'll go into that a little bit today. In fact, we'll do a practice run with Psalm 23 together. So when you get past that introductory stuff, you'll notice there's a reading schedule, and that's in the front. It's not actually on any of the pages that you'll use, and I'll go into why that's helpful. But you'll notice that it'll have an Old Testament and a New Testament reading, and then it'll also, and then on Saturday is just a psalm, and Sundays are you're just taking a break from this schedule. Sundays are a good day to spend time in God's Word, guided by the sermon. But this schedule actually goes not only through 2020, but it includes 2021 as well. And so you'll notice if you just open randomly to any page in the middle, because every page is exactly the same once you get past the reading schedule. And so you'll notice that there's just a place up top for you to write the date and for you to write what passage you've read. So there's a couple of reasons for that. Why might that be beneficial that the pages themselves don't have the date written on them?
Right.
So I don't know. Have any of you ever bought one of those Bible in a Year Bibles? Like, it's actually printed out with dates in it, so that like you flip to that date and start reading. Often, for me anyway, after about January 5th, it becomes an accuser. And so, you're going to go through seasons where maybe you don't use this as much as you had hoped you would. So when you return to it, don't go back to the last day you were there and then try to power read yourself your way through it. Just go to the next that day and that day's reading, and just start there again and write that date in, and just start using it right there. Next week, I'll talk a little bit about the community aspect of this, because it's called the Community Bible Reading Journal for a reason. This will be a great tool for you, even just individually. One of the blessings of it is if you are able to get a group of five or six other people that you just, from your own reading, you encourage one another, like with something that you've read, something that struck you. And you'll notice at the bottom of every page, there's a prepare for gospel community. And it's almost, so you can do this through text. You can do it, you know, maybe if you're in a group that you all love Twitter or something, you know, you can tweet out to each other these things, because it's intended to be just a short encouragement thing, something that you picked up, something that God specifically brought out of the text to you and really encouraged you or convicted you that you just found helpful and would like to encourage others with. And so we'll talk next week about how we can become what they call an interdependent community of Bible readers. You know, this isn't a Bible study. This is a Bible reading journal. In Bible study, you are sort of the actor in Bible study, sort of, you know, excavating the passages that you're reading and digging deep into them and getting them to, like, you know, release to you truths and things. In this Bible reading journal, the passage itself is the actor. And you are what's being excavated. And so you're just reading it slowly, and you're letting the Bible penetrate, as the writer of Hebrews says the Bible can do. That it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it can pierce through just even our hardest hearts, through our most difficult situations. And again, remembering that we serve a gracious God. And so again, it's not that, you know, as we talked last week, you know, there's, you know, people who do read the Bible regularly and consistently, there's often two categories of those. Now, people who don't, there's many categories of people who don't, and many of us are probably in those categories. But of the people that do read the Bible consistently, often they can be broken into two categories. One who reads the Bible because I read the Bible in order to get God to love me. And so I read it regularly, I read it consistently, I read it faithfully, but it's because I feel like if I have to do this to get God to love me. But there are other people who go to the Bible, who read Scripture regularly, who say, I read the Bible because God loves me. And so it's not that I read the Bible because this is some law on me that if I do it, God will bless me. If I don't do it, God will hurt me. We don't go to the Bible with some sort of Hindu karma idea, although probably all of us as Christians have been guilty of treating our relationship with Christ in a karma-like way, where things go wrong. We're like, it's because I didn't have my QT. It's because I didn't do. It's because I haven't been reading faithfully. This is what I get for that. And it's not what we go to Scripture for. We go to Scripture because what we find in Scripture is that God reveals the blessings that He already has for us. It's not that I read the Bible in order to get blessings. I read the Bible in order to be exposed to the blessings that are already there. And so, and we do find that to be true for ourselves. It's not, you know, it's what we find is the more we're in Scripture, the more we realize these blessings have been true all along, and I have simply been starving myself of them. I simply have not made myself available to Scripture to bring these blessings out. And so, so the goal is the language is used regularly that we listen to God's word as we use this tool. And so it's a reminder that I'm not just reading God's word, I'm actually listening to God's word. That God actually speaks through Scripture to his people. And so when we go to Scripture, we should be expectant that God is going to speak to us, that God is going to convict our hearts or encourage us, that God uses his word faithfully in the lives of his people. And so we ought to be expectant that God will do that. And the beauty of this tool is that, you know, there's a place for confession and supplication in here. Some of those will come because I do see specifically what the Scripture is saying to me on a convicting level, or on it showing me very specifically things that I really ought to be asking for. Other times, though, those confessions and supplications will be confessions of, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know why this is the passage you have for me, and yet you are faithful. And so, you know, God, show me. Show me what it is that I need your word for today. If you haven't had a regular Bible reading time in your life, I would even encourage you to just do the New Testament this year. It's not a lot more to add the Old Testament because it's just one more chapter. Remember, you're just doing one chapter from each. But if you've never done this before, feel free to just do the New Testament this year. Just go through one chapter of the New Testament every day. On Saturdays, probably stick with the Saturday recommendation of just reading that psalm on that Saturday, because you'll the benefit of using both the Old and New Testament is you'll see more regularly how consistent God is. It won't be this week, obviously, or next week, because we're going to talk about community. But when I come back from our holiday break, we'll do one more Sunday school lesson in January on expectation. And it's really just a lesson that actually you can cheat a little bit, because in the back of your book is the sort of a write-up of expectation. There are two sort of guides in the back, one called Surrender, how we surrender to the Bible, and one called Expectation. And it's just, how do we read the Old Testament? If the Old Testament is a testament of expectation, that we see in the Old Testament somehow Christ being revealed, whether through a type or through a better than or through a fulfillment of. And so we'll do a whole Sunday school lesson on how do I do that? How do I approach the Old Testament in that way? But today what we want to do is actually just show you that this isn't a hard thing. But we're going to take time today longer than you need to take when you're doing this on your own. Now you can take a lot of time to do this if you want. You could decide that I'm going to read this chapter through four times. I'm going to read this section through and just focus on the adoration side. And then I'm going to return to it and read the passage through again and focus on the confession side. And then I'm going to return to it again and read it a third time and focus on the thanksgiving side. And then a fourth time and focus on the supplication side. You don't have to do it that way. Many of you will approach passages that are somewhat familiar to you. And so that's, you know, you're not cheating by remembering passages. The whole point is for the passage to be alive and real and convicting and encouraging to you. So, you know, we're starting today. It probably seems like we're cheating because we're starting today with Psalm 23. And it's like, well, sure, who couldn't get a bunch of encouragement out of Psalm 23. But part of it is to show you that even things that you are encouraged by, perhaps reading it at a slower pace will draw out new things to you. And so if we have time after we've done this today, I'll talk to you a little bit about the whole premise or purpose of the surrender side of the, you know, it's the where before you've even started your study, there's this place up here for you to write a surrendering prayer. And so, you know, maybe that will be, so if you without cheating too much and reading too many of the notes in the front, there's actually, they use Psalm 23 up here in the front. But don't read the actual, what this person gave as examples of these four. But at the top, you can see an example of a surrender through prayer. At the beginning of the journal, this person just writes, "Heavenly Father, it has been a long week. I am tired, anxious, and fairly discouraged. Would you allow me to hear your loving voice and experience your gracious presence as I read Psalm 23? Will you set me free by empowering me to understand and believe your truth? Please bear fruit in my life as I receive and hold fast to your word. In Christ I pray. Amen." And this whole tool is actually a tool of praying through your pet. So you start with a written prayer of surrender. Every box is a prayer of adoration, a prayer of confession, a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of supplication. You can, you know, there's not a right or wrong way to use these boxes. You know, you could bullet point things from a full passage. You could, you know, maybe one particular thing strikes you, and so you write out just a prayer of adoration about that one thing that jumps out at you, that just lays in your heart for an encouraging time. You know, you'll notice that it's laid out so that you can journal. You can write out even more on the facing page. Now, you know, a little heads up, if you do that, which you should if you are inclined to do those things, if you do that, you'll only get through about 100 days with this journal. We should have extras, though. And if you can certainly contact me if you notice you're getting page 99 and it's only June, that's a great thing. But we'll probably have extras in my office. You can also go online and reorder them. You know, if you order it individually, you won't have the fancy, awesome Hope of Christ logo on the front. But you can get additional copies of this journal, and I think they're $10 online. And so, but this is, and the goal again is to encourage you to find your sustenance and hope and encouragement in the Word of God on a regular basis. And remember, last week we looked at all of the examples of manna in Scripture and how we realize from both Deuteronomy and then Jesus quoting Deuteronomy that the whole point of providing manna in the way that God did was to remind His people, you don't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so even the example of how we approach manna, how we were to gather manna, how it was actually a community activity that even if you gathered a bunch, you didn't have any left over. Even if you didn't gather much, you weren't lacking. Everyone had as much as they needed from it. And so it again points to that community side of going to God's word. And so, you know, maybe there'll be a time, and it's not that, you know, don't take it as, okay, I'm in this group, all six of us have to respond to some really deep, meaningful thing from this passage every day. That's not necessarily true. You know, maybe one or two of you will respond on different days, like, this really spoke to me, or this really encouraged me. And so we'll work our way through that. So let's, you know, there's no passages in the journal, but on here we've got Psalm 23 written out for you. And so hopefully you've got pens. And so, you know, even before you read the passage, you know, just think through I have a couple of extras of these from last week that has the Psalm 23 example on the back if you want to use that. But yeah, everyone grab, you're going to want a book, you're going to want to get one for your spouse, even if they're not here. We've got enough for pretty much every member and every adult attender of Hope of Christ, all the way through even high school. And there's probably enough, even if if you're in middle school and you want to do this, great, do it. Grab one. If we have to buy more, we'll buy more. But I don't think we'll have to. You know, I mean, I'm always You know, when I print bulletins, when that used to be my work, when I, you know, when I buy these things, I am always uncharacteristically optimistic. And so I know we've bought more than we need. So if you feel like you wanted one, but don't think it applies to you, go ahead and take one. It would be awesome if we ran out. It would be awesome if we didn't have enough for everyone and people were like, no, I really want to do this. I really want to be involved. So take some time with Psalm 23. Before you even read it, just take some time quieting yourself. You know, write out a prayer of surrender and then just take a few moments and read through Psalm 23. And, you know, just as you read it, think of how does Psalm 23 encourage you to adore and praise God? How does Psalm 23 speak of God's attributes? And just write out praise or adoration for God from things that you see about Him in the Psalm. And then we'll talk about it. So, ready? Pens up and go. So what are some things that, as you read Psalm 23, what are some things that cause you to adore and praise God?
He's a good shepherd, so the first thing I think of, all that that entails, but I understand what a shepherd does.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, with David, he protected the flock with his own life. You're always looking out for the sheep. Focuses on them at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And they, sheep have a tendency to stray off and go their own way. And so going after them and bringing them back.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good shepherd. Other things?
Yeah, I just think when it says, you anoint my head with oil, you know, what you kind of shared in a sermon several weeks ago about what that means, because I never really thought too deeply about what that meant. But just all the ways that God protects us that we're not usually always aware of.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wrote down a lot of the verbs, like he restores and the
yeah.
He prepares.
All right, so now read through the passage again and consider how it convicts your soul. How does the passage draw out confession from you? Where do you see in the passage from God's Word here your need to confess? And just write some of those down. So what are some levels of confession that Psalm 23 draws out for you?
Lack of contentment.
Yeah, that opening line, the Lord is our shepherd, my shepherd, I shall not want. My very first thought was, God, I want a lot. Others?
Yeah, I think a lot of times you're anxious about something, and just in verse 4, where it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Mm. And how often do we tend to worry about the things that might happen, or
yep.
what we think is going on, you know, instead of resting in that.
Yeah.
I mean, even adding to that, it's just not always believing that he's always with you. When bad things happen, you're like, God, why did that happen?
Yeah.
Trusting in his plan instead of our own. Trusting in his methods when he gives the rod and the staff, it keeps us in line.
Yeah. So did anyone else write down, you know, a confession about the rod and staff? Okay, so then you're wrong, Ricardo. Thank you for sharing. No. So is that wrong? But now you hear it and you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true. I need another box. So this is part of the gift of community Bible reading, of like hearing from God's word, from God's people, in ways that my heart was hardened to that truth. I didn't even consider that. You know, this is the gift that this is also trying to instill in us, just the gift of encouraging each other through the word of God. So when we get to the Thanksgiving section, it's not just, while you'll notice like Thanksgiving and adoration are all on one side, sort of, because especially when you read through the Psalms, or really anything where you've adored God, you'll find that a lot of the stuff in the Thanksgiving is going to be simply thanking God for what you just adored Him for. And so it's going to be similar. So you don't have to feel like, oh, I got to find all brand new stuff for my Thanksgiving section. Or when you get to the adoration section, say, oh, I got to say this because I want a doozy in my Thanksgiving section. That's not it. But if you're looking for a way to help you, use the Thanksgiving section, as it says here, you know, thank Jesus for His salvation, past, present, and future. So as you read the passage, consider, how does my salvation in Jesus bring this out even more? How does Psalm 23 help me to thank Jesus for what He's done for my salvation? So use that to help you guide if you're kind of stuck and you just feel like you're just repeating what you wrote in the adoration. So let's read through it again and just write down things that we would thank Jesus for because of this passage. So what are some things that you thought of as you read Psalm 23? What were some things the Holy Spirit showed you to be thankful for? Yeah, that's a pretty big thing. Can we thank God for always being with us? Is it nice when His word reminds us of that? Is that a reminder you need more than once a week? And again, how many of you read Psalm 23 and it caused you to thank God for the church? I mean, again, isn't that a beautiful, like Karen reads Psalm 23 and sees the blessing of God's people in present community together. And what isn't, I mean, you could have read Psalm 23 a dozen times and maybe never even thought to thank God because of that. And but in a group of folks who might share one or two things that God really brought out for them, and you're like, wow. How many of you would hate getting a text on Monday morning that said, I'm really grateful for God's people. I'm so glad that we get to spend eternity together and with Christ. I mean, how many of you would read that and be like, oh, this is such a waste of text. No, who wouldn't want to receive a text like that on a Monday morning as you're walking in or walking out of a meeting, or, you know, halfway through the day you see this text, and what an encouragement. Others, anyone else write something that they were thankful for from Psalm 23?
Creation. I mean, even the imagery that's used, the only reason it's effective is because of how good creation is.
Mm. Yeah.
Think about Eric Ramsey said a couple weeks ago about how, like, just the very fact that we're here, just the fact that God didn't end it all after the fall is something to be incredibly grateful for.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'll be always before us this community Bible journal that it's about community, but before it's about community, remember, it's personal too. You're one of God's sheep because you're God's sheep. Because God loves you personally and intimately. You know, as I was considering the confession, I wrote down, you know, you lead me on paths of righteousness, but I don't like to walk those paths. And it caused me in the time of Thanksgiving to just realize, you know, Christ walked the paths of righteousness for me. It doesn't release me from obedience, but what a blessing to know that this psalm can comfort me because Christ perfectly personifies this psalm, both as the good shepherd and as the one who walked the paths of righteousness perfectly. That the valley of the shadow of death is just a valley of shadows now because Christ entered that valley and died. And so I can know that I will walk through that valley unscathed, and that God's mercy and kindness are going to chase me all the days of my life. These are great things to be thankful for, to realize from this psalm. And so then the last thing is then supplication. So how does this, you know, I read this psalm and think through, like, what are the things I should be seeking from God in this, you know, as directed by Psalm 23. So take some time in Psalm 23 and write out some things that you would want from this psalm. Anyone want to share a supplication?
Mm-hmm.
I was struck with how intentionally calming every metaphor at the beginning of it is. You know, he makes me lie down. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. And, I want that. I want a rested, restored soul.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I was reflecting on is, it says he makes me lie down in green pastures. So, like when you're really tired, you don't care where you're at, right? Like you're worn out. You just want to rest and you really don't care where you're at. But when God does that for us, it's a pleasant, we're in a pleasant environment, you know.
Yeah.
A restful, nourishing, revitalizing, you know, kind of place.
Yeah. And so then finally, just as you have read now Psalm 23 several times, like, write down a short sentence that you would share with others, that you'd want to send to a friend or to a group of friends to encourage them.
God is constant in all of life's circumstances, whether we face illness. Enemies and all those things. He is constantly there. He's constantly helping us. Even whether we experience the sense of his presence or not, we can still trust him to be with us.
And again, if you got a text like this at some point in your day, I mean, what impact would that have on you? I mean, not just a random text that, you know, someone put together a meme for you, but realizing that this came from a friend that this came from God's Word. This encouragement came straight from God's encouragement to this friend. And they shared it with you. Now, how many of us need daily reminders that God's faithfulness in the past is a constant refrain in Scripture for, so don't you think you can trust me for the future? You know, what great gifts that is for the moments that we face. Those, like you said, we're on that path, we're on that journey, but we don't see the turns. We don't see, you know, even the language of, you know, and I've used this illustration before, you know, the Bible says, you know, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. And this is written long before LEDs or million candle flashlights. We're talking about torches. And, you know, the light for your path is not a floodlight for your horizon. I mean, he's not necessarily with his word showing you even the steps 15 and 20 feet out. He's showing you the steps today with his word. He's showing you, you know, walking in paths of righteousness right now is this step. And you can trust me. And you can trust that I have the next step already figured out for you. Today, here's what your faithful step looks like. And so it's why we go back to the word over and over again. So I'm excited. I'm eager about this. Next week we'll talk either about surrender or about expectation, how to understand the Old Testament in light of the New Testament. But so for now, you know, make sure, and I'll be announcing it. Make sure when you see folks, tell them that these are here. They'll be here till they're gone, and then they'll be in my office. And so, pick one up. There's enough for every member, every regular attender, even down through high school and even some extras. So let's pray and get ready for worship. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful. You are our good shepherd. You have done all for us so that we can rest, so that we can lie down. The work is completed. You entered the valley of death so that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death without fear. And because of your faithfulness, you promise that your goodness and kindness are going to chase us and follow us and be our constant companions all the days of our lives. And we will dwell with you forever. What great hope and encouragement we receive from you and from your word. I pray, God, that this year you would make hope of Christ a people of your word. That we would humble ourselves before your word. We would know you in your word, and we would encourage each other from your word. And I pray that you would use this in our personal and private lives so that you would use us in each other's lives for the glory of Jesus. In his name we pray.